Welcome everyone to the fourth session of the Author of Change Transformational Coaching Program. As always, I'm Nina Amir, your author coach, and hopefully your inspiration to get out there and make a positive, meaningful difference with your words. So I see Deborah's here. Hi, video. Awesome.
Hi.
Yay. There you are. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
All right. So everybody can hear me okay?
Yes.
Awesome. Great. Okay. So as always, this is your time to use to ask me questions about, you've had two webinars and four homework assignments, right?
Right.
Yes.
Right. So you'll have another webinar coming up on Friday. So, it's great if you can tell me how it's going with the assignments and the webinars. There's Ella. Yeah. Awesome. So Ella, you might want to hang up the phone and use the audio wherever you have video.
Okay. Now, I look terrible. So anyways, okay, it's all right.
Some of these sessions I have not looked so great either. Today I have makeup on, but I only had, I got home from New York at 3:15 in the morning. So, not a great day for me either. So, we all just bear with it and we love each other no matter what. So no worries. Okay. All right. So, the floor is yours to ask me whatever questions you have. And I will try to answer them. So if we can, try to stick at least initially to the assignments and how you're doing with those, you can even, let's just start with a check-in. How are you each doing with the assignments? And, what's coming up for you? What are you struggling with when it comes to them? Anyway, you want to start, Sherry? You were saying you really love this one. What was you love about this one?
Very well, because this has been a game changer for me. I don't know, last week was a big deal because I don't know how to tell you how I viewed my writing life, but I think it was more of a hobby than actually being a writer. Mm-hmm. But, just stepping into that role as a writer has helped. But then this week, setting goals, talking about steps to reach those goals, has just been so helpful. I mean, breaking that down, I know how to set goals and how to set steps, but as a writer, I enjoyed that help. The only question that I have, because it's a...
Oh, you cut out a little bit. Sherry,
what will you start?
Yes. Can you say that again? Because
what will you start?
No, you just cut out. I can now, but you like got stuck briefly.
Well, something came up that said my internet connection was kind of, a little bit skeptical, but anyway, and a future goal, for the really dreaming. I know that you start small and then you just keep building and building, but at what point, I doubt that I'll ever do a webinar or anything because my blog isn't appropriate for that, but I might do a podcast or something like that. How many followers would I want to have before I did something like that?
Okay, so the thing with a webinar, should you want to do a webinar or any, we'll just go with all of this since we have different people who have different things they want to do. Hey, Deanna.
Sure. Hi.
Is that... Don't know that there's a requirement for how many people you need to have, for instance, on your mailing list or on social media for a webinar, but you want to keep in mind that you have to promote it in some way, okay? Mm-hmm. So I have a friend who's a high-performance coach, and he keeps saying, I keep doing webinars, and, I get maybe two or three people because... Yeah, that's all that's signing up. And webinars are an awesome way to get people onto your mailing list. Like I've grown my mailing list for different segments, like high performance coaching or authoring change. because mm-hmm. people, you know, you promote to that and people who are interested come and they get on your mailing list. So it's a great way to build your mailing list, but if you don't have one yet or you don't have a lot of people on social media, you're going to have to run some ads. You're going to have to put a little bit of money behind it. And it doesn't have to be a lot of money. You can boost a post for, you know, $5 or $10. Doesn't matter. Are you still there, Sherry? You're stuck.
So I am.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now you're not stuck anymore. Okay. So the same kind of goes with a podcast. You could start the podcast. Starting a podcast is a lot like starting a blog. You start and you have nobody. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. And you just go ahead and you do it, but you promote it to all the social media sites. And you make sure that you're doing that, and you could run a little bit of advertising to it. And again, it doesn't have to be a lot of money. And you just, you know, you just build as you go. As long as you're not worried about being, you know, on the podcasting on New and Notable immediately, then it doesn't matter, right? Mm-hmm. So you just start going. And that works great. And if you don't want to do, you know, something like this where it's you're showing yourself, then webinars are great and podcasts mm-hmm. are awesome because you really don't have to, nobody has to see you. But mm-hmm. in terms of your question, how many followers do you need? The more followers you have, the more successful you'll be at any of these endeavors.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But you have to start somewhere.
Exactly. Yeah.
So just decide, I'm going to do a blog or I'm going to do a podcast or I'm going to do a webinar, and just know that you have to do more promotion than somebody who has a bigger following. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Did that answer your question without going too far around the bush? Uh-oh, you're stuck again. Sherry, you're stuck.
Yes, it did. And if, okay. There we go.
Yeah.
Okay. The other thing is, today I, in my email, I got a thing from an author that said, you know, that there was a free download. Anyway, so I got it just mostly because I want to see what people offer for free. Anyway, it's just a one-page thing of advice, but it was helpful. So it's like the free stuff doesn't have to be necessarily some great thing, right? I mean, as long as it's helpful and people feel like they got something out of it.
Right. They need to get value. But it can be something like a PDF. I often tell people, you know, you can give away 5 tips or 10 ways or whatever it is. And it can just be a list with just a tiny paragraph for each one. Mm-hmm. The thing you have to remember is, you know, you have to keep in mind, who is my target market? What do they need and want? What questions do they have? And then if you can provide an answer for that, then yeah, that's what you want to do. And it could be a video. You could do a 20-minute video or a webinar, you know, where you pre-record it and you give that to them. Or you could do something as simple as a PDF, and all of that works. And those of who have heard me talk about blogging and all the, that's an important thing to have on your website. We call it a lead magnet, right? Because what we're attracting are leads. It's a magnet for leads. And those leads are people who will buy our books, you know, sign up for our courses, become subscribers to our blogs. And most often these days, if you have a blog on your website and you're offering something free like that, what happens is you automatically get put onto the mailing list and you're going to get the blog posts and everything else. And that's what you want. That is definitely a great way to be building your mailing list. And it's a necessity. I think if you're going to have a blog, you want to make sure you're giving away something for free.
Okay.
Okay. And go to every one of my sites. They all give something away for free.
Right. Okay. Right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, I'm glad that says that this week's homework was good for you. And yeah,
it was. Yeah.
It does take you out of that. I'm a hobby writer to, you know, this is what I'm going to be doing.
Well, last week at a guild that I go to here, I said, I just don't have a vision for where I want to be going right now. And then, like yesterday morning, it's like I kept having these great ideas and this vision. So it's pretty exciting.
Good. I'm glad. And that just reminded me that, I don't know, did I send all of you the information on how to do the career planning with me? Speaking of ways to figure out where you're going, what you're doing, did I send that to any of you?
No, not yet, but we did talk about it.
Yeah, so I'm going to get the link and put it in the chat, okay, just so you have it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, other comments or questions related to the last 4 weeks worth of homework or webinars or any of that? Who else? Anyone want to just comment? Okay, I just put that in the chat.
I would like to have a plan for my blog posts. I've run a series before and it can dry up real quick. And I don't want to start blogging my message if I don't know that I can go long range with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking about, all right, do I use my chapters as topics or do I use my scenes as prompts for me to write my posts, or what do you do? What do you recommend?
Okay, so when I do the career planning, this is part of what we do. And what you have to ask yourself first is this the only book I'm ever going to write?
No.
Okay. I want you to make a list of the books you're going to write.
Okay.
And then I want you to think, and you can do it right here if you want, is there a theme that runs through them all or a subject that runs through them all?
Well, the all that I've thought of is two, and it's caregiving for the mentally handicapped.
Okay, so both of them are caregiving. Could you imagine writing a third or a fourth, maybe even short ebooks? Would they still relate to caregiving?
Yes, for right now, yes.
Okay, so then you know that that is your theme, but you need to... You can start right there and just start brainstorming all the topics related to your book, related to the subject. So you could have one list that's, here are topics that I know I'll cover in my book that I would want to talk about on my blog. Then you could have another list of topics related to caregiving that maybe are related to the second book.
Okay.
Or topics that are sort of general topics related to caregiving.
Okay.
Okay, the idea is that you want to be sticking to your topic. So the blogs that get the most exposure the fastest, or the most visibility, are the ones that are on one topic. So I think I've told you this before. I wrote about how to blog a book for 5 months. How to blog a book, blogging a book, blog to book deals, you know, blogging your book. And that's all I wrote about.
Mm-hmm.
And organically, those were my keywords and keyword phrases. And because that's all I wrote about for 5 months, and I have to say there weren't that many other people writing about that topic, I very quickly rose up to the first spot on the Google search engine results pages. If you're there are other bloggers writing about caregiving, so you need to know that. So it's probably, you know, not you know, just caregiving is not an uncommon term, I would think, you know, a keyword. But the other thing I would do is I would be spending some time asking yourself how you're approaching this topic differently than the other bloggers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How your books are going to be different. So that goes to the competitive analysis. How is your book going to be different? Because that's how you want to brand yourself online.
Okay.
Is with that idea. So, I mean, there were a lot of people writing about blogging and there were a lot of people writing about books and authorship. I was the only one writing about how to blog a book.
Okay.
Made me very different and made it easy for Google to figure out what I was doing, right?
Right.
Okay, so that's how I do it. And I just brainstorm and I try to create a 3-month plan of blog posts. So if you were writing twice a week, you'd have a blog, you know, you'd have a plan for 2 posts per week for 3 months. When you get close to the end of the third month, you're gonna have to be brainstorming for 3 more months.
Okay.
And then you can do things like, and this might be way too much information, but once you get going, you can look in your Google Analytics. So you should have Google Analytics set up for your site.
Yes.
Or whatever other analytics you're running, and you will look to see what are your most popular posts. I'm always floored at which ones are the most popular, but you can look at those and then you can say, okay, these were my 10 most popular posts. How could I take this topic to a deeper level? What are 5 posts I could write on this topic?
Okay. You
see what I'm saying? So then you just, you keep looking at that and going deeper and deeper. And I look at my own life and I look at my clients and, you know, you might have something that happens, you know, you're caregiving and something comes up and you say, you know, that'd make a really good blog post, and you put it on your list. Or maybe you want to write about it right now because it's current in your mind. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so you bump something else down the list a little bit. And as okay. for your book, you definitely could be using vignettes from your book. You could be using almost anything from your book. If you don't want to blog your book, then just use little excerpts and write around them.
Okay.
You know, or maybe you have a little vignette you've created for something and you're going to put that in the book, but maybe you put it on the blog, but you write something different to go with it. Like, this is something that happened to me and here are 5 ways I dealt with it. Whereas in the book, maybe it's done differently.
Okay. Okay.
But list posts and, you know, things like that, 10 ways to do whatever, or 10 tips, or 5 tools, you know, these are all great blog posts. And so every time you come up with a new idea for how to do something better, or you come across a tool, it's a great thing to blog about.
Right. Yeah. One thing off the top of my head is talking the talk. You know, you talk to the memory impaired differently. You compose your sentences, you wait, you read their body language differently so you can respond. I mean, there's a lot of things I could say there.
Right. And see, if you made a list of the 10 things you need to know or look for or whatever when you're speaking to the mentally impaired, you could then take every one of those 10 and write another blog post only on that one.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good idea.
Now you have one post with 10 tips, and then you have 10 posts to go with it.
Okay. Okay. I want to ask you another question, and that is, do you have more than one blog?
I do, and I don't recommend it unless it's really necessary, meaning you're writing about diverse topics. Ella's laughing or smiling because she's heard me talk about this before. Anyway, what happened to me, Deborah, was that I didn't know what I was doing. And I mean, I knew enough to know I needed a blog in order to be more discoverable, right? And to promote what I was doing. But I just thought, oh, well, I have this idea over here. I'll write a blog about that. Or I have this idea, you know, I'll write a blog. So, you know, what happened was I had a website called Pure Spirit Creations, which is now my imprint and my company name. And so I had Pure Spirit Creations as a website, and that was all personal development and spirituality. And I had a blog there, and that was my primary focus. That was what I wanted to do. And that's how I got started. Then I thought, well, this is kind of silly. You know, I need some clients, but the clients are going to come from editing books and, you know, writing magazine articles. I need a site for that. So then I created a company called Copyright Communications, spelled like playwright. And I had, for that site, I created my blog, Write Nonfiction Now. Now remember, blogs are websites, right?
Right,
But I was just seeing them sort of as, I mean, I was seeing them that way. But anyway, I started Write Nonfiction Now. Then the next thing I knew, I decided to do, you know, the nonfiction version of NaNoWriMo, right? So National Novel Writing Month. So I'm going to do Write Nonfiction in November. Well, that needs a blog. I think that one through it all, because that blog was only active for 1 month. That was stupid. But I did that for a couple of years before somebody said, well, that blog is defunct all year long, like except for 30 days. Then I had to figure out how to combine that one with Write Nonfiction Now, because that made sense and that's where it should have been all along. So now I had, okay, once I combined them, I had Write Nonfiction Now and I had what I called As the Spirit Moves Me, and then the one at Pure Spirit Creations. Then I had the idea for how to blog a book. That was number 3. And this is where it started to make sense to me that I had made a mistake. 'Cause when I got done with blogging, how to blog a book, I was like, phew, I'm done. Like, done. I don't have to write this blog anymore. And I know better than that. I mean, I just wrote a book about blogging. I know better. And of course, my traffic just plummeted because I started writing instead of three to four times a week, I started writing twice a month. Right? So everything I'd built was dying off. So I went back to blogging there and I went, okay, there's a problem here. Mm-hmm. And I failed to mention that somewhere along the line in there, I started a blog called My Son Can Dance because I had a son who danced and it was not an easy road to hoe. And I thought I would write about that too, so that I could maybe one day write a book about it and would have an audience, which was a great idea. But now I had four blogs, even after, you know, combining two. And I had to go through this whole, and this is where the career planning thing came out of it, was because I had to go through this about a year-long process of saying, who am I as a writer? Who am I going to be as a writer? And, or as an author? Because I had this multiple personality. Boys who dance, blogging, nonfiction, you know, metaphysics and spirituality. I mean, it was like, who, you know, people were like, Nina, who are you and where do we find you? So I created a site called ninaamir.com, which initially was just a bunch of pages with links. Go here for this, go there for that. And you can see now at ninaamir.com, it's a very different version of that. And yeah. We took the blog from Pure Spirit Creations into there. But to make this a much shorter story. From that, I learned that was a mistake and that I didn't want anyone to do that unless they had to, because more than anything, it's a hell of a lot of work.
That's right.
You know, I had four sites. I was writing on the boys' blog one, once a week or once every 2 weeks, just when I wanted to. But writing nonfiction now, when I started it, I wrote 5 days a week.
I don't know how you did all that. Your story totally encourages me.
It does.
I've had two because I started my art blog first in 2012. And there's a lot of information on there. There's a lot of history. There's a lot. And I started putting articles on it too. And then I got too many articles on it, things that I was writing, and the creative, the artwork with the memory impaired, I had all that on there. Then I did a whole series of interviews with artists. So a couple of years ago, I separated that off into another blog, right? So now I've got a writer's blog and I've got an artist blog. And my poor artist blog just suffers because my head's not there right now, but there's so much history, I don't want to destroy it.
Right.
So I don't know what to do. I mean, you see it on my website. You see both blogs, right, and you have a choice to go to one or the other, and you kind of pretty much recognize how they flow together. That's not an issue, I don't think, but keeping it up is just like...
Oh. Yeah, so that was the problem for me, because I was spending all my time blogging, and I still spend a lot of time on it, but I have guest bloggers now, so on two of my sites. So that helps. I still have to edit them and put them up and get the images and all that stuff. But it's a little faster. But yeah, so the big issues here are multiple personality disorder and too much work. And so here is my solution. So let me backtrack. So are both your blogs at all related to disabilities? I mean, one was art and one is writing.
Yes, and the tie between the two is my creative arts work with the memory impaired.
Okay, cool. So then what you do is you brand your site that way.
I brand which site?
You make a one site. I don't have any problem with you having two blogs, but okay. The best would be for you to do this, is to, you could have a page for for art and for writing, but if it were me to reduce the amount of work, I would come up with a really clear brand around I do artwork and, you know, writing or creative endeavors with the mentally impaired.
Okay.
That's not a brand, but you know what I mean? Some kind of tagline that right. says that.
Right.
Okay. So that when they show up there, they see a statement that says, this is who I am and what I do, right. what I write about. Yeah. Right. And then I would, are you on WordPress?
Yes.
Okay. So my developer could do this. You could probably find another developer who can do it as well, but you can actually combine the two sites, the two blogs into one.
Yeah.
Then what I would do is I would alternate topics.
Okay.
1 week writing, 1 week art.
Okay.
Okay. But if you're also talking about caregiving, now we have a new things thrown in there, because one is work you're doing with the mentally impaired, and the other is I'm writing for caregivers. So,
but my book is not just for caregivers. My book is more of a memoir that shows the afflicted and supports the caregiver.
Okay.
So they're combined already. It's combined, the whole, my brand is combined already.
Okay. And is artwork and writing involved in that or no?
In what?
In this memoir and.
Oh, yes, it is.
Okay.
So not to the extent that other things are, but yes, it is.
Okay.
Because it's all part of my work and my learning how to relate to the memory impaired.
Okay, awesome. So then what you do is you have somebody combine the two of them for you, because it's a very, you have to do it very carefully, because they have to make sure that there are redirects for all the links that have been moved.
Yeah.
And there are automated ways to do that, you know, but you have to make sure that happens. And I still find blog posts where the images are gone, you know, things like that. So it's
sure.
It does have to be done, but you can combine the two of them so that you don't lose all that content and you actually give your site more juice for Google, right? Because everything's in one place.
So when we talk about another site, we're talking about...
You don't have to have a new site. You already have one. I would just redesign it or rebrand it and have, you know, and move the one of the blogs onto the... So instead of having two links, it's going to become one blog where you then alternate. You could do 1 week writing, 1 week art, 1 week actual caregiving. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Sort of.
So remember
The writing blog is already connected to my website.
It's part of it. But the art one is not.
It's a blogger.
Okay, well, somebody can still import that for you.
Yeah.
I would import all of that into your current site, and that way you have more content there, and you just are writing one blog. You're publishing posts on one blog. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes.
Would that work for you?
Well, the trouble is that my writing blog is already... dedicated to writing craft, the craft of writing. So I've already got too much information on there like that.
Okay.
So to me, it makes more sense to have a new site.
Well, I would do what I did, which is an umbrella site.
Okay.
Like Amir.com started as an umbrella site for everything I did. And if you feel like they need to be separate, then if you go over to Amir.com, you'll see none of mine have been, except for the one on Pure Spirit Creations, which was moved. We shut that down, and we moved all that content onto ninaamir.com because it made sense there, because it was about personal development and spirituality. The other sites are all still standalones, and we just link to them.
Yeah, and that makes more sense to me.
But you still have the problem of I have more than one blog.
Correct.
And so you then have to decide, where are you doing caregiving in this? And, right. you know, are you going to have a third one? Because you're already struggling to have more than, you know, with more than one blog.
Right. Okay.
But if caregiving is your main focus and you were to add a third blog into there, then you'd have to say, okay, the majority of my focus goes to the caregiving because that's about my book. And, you know, I will do 2 posts a month on the other two or whatever. So you have to come up with a schedule.
Right.
And I don't know if you need a third one, only you know that. But just, do you see where I'm going with this? It just becomes more and more work. And the one that you write on the most often is the one that will become the most visible in Google.
Right, right, exactly.
But so, on the other side of that is if you're targeting your marketing. So if you're sharing your blog posts very specifically with a target market, maybe even boosting them on Facebook, like when you share on Facebook or on Pinterest, you can
right.
pay a little bit of money and boost them. If you boost right. them to the target market, you... it might not matter about Google so much. You know what I mean? Because you might just be able to attract the right readers to your blog by focusing on sharing in specific groups of caregivers or doing some, you know, inexpensive ads or, you know, just boosting a post or any of those things. In which case, you know, you might, with enough work, you can create a following there as well. I mean, in that way as well.
Okay.
Okay, so, you know, we talk a lot about Google because people go and search on Google.
Exactly.
But if you begin to get enough people come into your site in other ways, you're going to show up in Google anyway.
Okay, all right.
All right, did I give you way too much information or did that make sense?
No, it's good. It all makes sense. I'm just going to have to take some time to think about it.
Okay. Yeah, and this takes time. When you have different topics and you already got going like me, you know, you already have that stuff there. You don't really want to get rid of it.
Right.
And people would say to me, combine how to blog a book with write nonfiction now. And I said, the whole reason how to blog a book succeeded was because it was on one topic. I can't combine it. Then it waters it down.
Uh-huh.
Right. Because it's those keywords that are helping it.
So right. Yeah,
it's much more complicated once you have things already out there in the world. It's better to actually think it through and then start. But if you've already started, all you can do.
Your journey's already been commenced and you've gone years in it, then you've got a problem.
Well, no, it's a challenge. I wouldn't call it a problem. It's a challenge just like I had, and you can solve it.
Right. You're right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and each of you, I think, get a 30-minute session with me. It's something, you know, we could easily talk about.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and feel free to bring it up again. I mean, it's good for everyone. I see everybody listening quite intently.
Good, I was hoping I wasn't robbing time from them.
No, I don't think so. Okay, so next question. Who else wants to talk about how they're doing with the homework or the webinars or anything else you're struggling with? Deanna or Ella? We don't see you anymore, Ella. Deanna, you got something for me?
I didn't actually get to my homework. I don't know why I feel like I have to say that.
Okay.
Because
you're a teacher.
Yeah, that's why. But there is a question that's been sticking with me since we last talked, which is, I think it relates to the blog posting and stuff, is I feel like I'm writing about an experience that happened in the past, and I feel like if I'm not immersed in it in my present tense, I'm going to run out of things to talk about. I'll be out of touch with that group, and I'm just wondering, do I need to find some way to, I don't know. It's like the past.
Okay, but you're going to have to bring it into the present to keep the blog going, right?
Right.
You're talking about a blog, right? Are we back on blogging? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you have to bring it into the future. So that was what happened with how to blog a book. It was like, okay, I blogged the book, I'm done. So, right? So now it's in the past. What the heck do I have to say now? I'm done. I said everything I had to say about that. Then when I realized I couldn't stop and I had to keep going, I had to figure out a plan. And so the plan was to continue talking about blogging, because we're talking about blogging a book. So talk about blogging, talk about publishing, talk about agents, talk about anything like that. So you'll notice that my guest bloggers, sometimes they talk about productivity and things like that. They're approaching tough topics. I think that was today. But there was a lot of talk about search engine optimization and things that I'm actually not an expert in. I never set out to be a blogging expert or a marketing expert and don't really see myself that way most of the time. But, you know, so I have people who can write about those things, you know, tools for, I mean, somebody's going to be talking about images and videos and things I could write about. But it's that, how do we perfect this, right? So how do we, it's okay to say, I'm going to write a book and here's the plan for writing the book on your blog. But then what? You still have to understand blogging, right? And you have to understand publishing and all those things. And so, and you still have to be a productive writer and you still have to figure out how to do your research. And these are all related topics. They get us a little bit away from how to blog a book, but we try to mention that in every post. And so in your case, it's the same. You have to say, okay, I'm writing about teachers in, you know, who are teaching in Europe, right?
China.
Okay, in China. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so much more specific than I thought you were doing. So still, what if you did expand that to teachers teaching in any other countries? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You see, so you write about China, and maybe that's all you do, and you just keep researching and talking to other teachers, and what did you struggle with there, and you know, that kind of thing. If it were me, I'd probably be thinking along the same lines I asked Deborah, what's the next book you're going to write? Uh-huh. Is there another book after this one?
I'm not sure.
Okay. So I would spend a little time brainstorming and saying, if I was going to write another book, what would I write about?
Yeah, there is one. Yeah. Yeah. It's about the different roles that a foreign teacher has to play.
Do you see how when you say that, see, that's how you've talked to us, a foreign teacher or a teacher in a foreign country.
Yeah.
That's a very broad topic as opposed to a teacher in China.
Yeah.
But if you say, okay, I'm writing a book about teaching in China, but my interest level, and I thought you mentioned this last time, that it was kind of like, oh, I could really make a difference by encouraging more people to go overseas and teach, right? Wasn't that what you said last time?
It is more broad than just foreign teachers in China. I guess maybe the idea is going to a country that's dramatically different than one's own. Of course, that's really subjective how someone experiences a culture that maybe technically is similar, but their experience may be still have high levels of culture shock. So you're right. It is more general than that.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, so you could, I could see you spinning off even into just other ebooks, but you know, you could go from teaching in China to much broader and the experiences and challenges that teachers in foreign countries have. Mm-hmm. If that's of interest to you.
Yeah. It definitely is.
So then, you know, your site becomes about that. And so, yes, your experience was in the past. It was with China. But moving forward, it's my purpose. My mission is to encourage teachers to teach in other countries and to support them in overcoming the challenges of doing so.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It seems like I'm going to have to be meeting people, networking, even if I'm meeting them online because they're overseas, having some guest bloggers who are out there in the field right now.
Mm-hmm. Is that of interest to you or no?
Oh, totally. Okay. I would make a whole career out of that. It sounds great.
So see, that's awesome. I mean, because if you know, if that's meaningful to you, and I thought based on like your purpose statement and some of those things, what I'm remembering was that that's sort of where you were going.
Yeah.
So that's what your blog is about. Mm-hmm. So yes, maybe you're putting stuff up there about China, mm-hmm. but you know, maybe using that as your experience. Maybe if it's even some anecdotes, you know, or I struggled with such and such. But you can go much broader than that. And you're going to have to.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like me when I do how to blog a book, or even if you go to ninaamir.com, I might take a topic that, oh, like hope. You know, I did one on hope. I did a blog post on hope recently. Do you think that I like sat down and researched 20 million things? No, I took all the information I knew and I thought about it. And I said, if I was going to tell somebody how to have more hope on a regular basis, what would I tell them? Mm-hmm. And I brought it from in here and from here. And I bet that you could do a lot of that. That doesn't mean that you couldn't interview people or have guest bloggers. Those are all really good ideas. If I were you, I would create a group on LinkedIn and on Facebook for teachers who are teaching in other countries or who want to. And then I'd be asking them, what are you struggling with? What have you learned? What are your five tips for such and such? Right?
Yeah.
And then you'd have lots of fodder that would bring you into the current moment. Does that make sense?
It does. Do I also hear you saying to sort of think about my topic and even maybe zoom in on certain aspects? So like you were talking about how to blog a book, it was how to blog a book, how to blog a book. And then you sort of focused on like blogging as a sort of like an offshoot topic, but really it's foundational to your specific. So I could maybe think about like teaching methods a little, you know, use my education background to think about,
of course.
You know, yeah, just teaching, and then maybe move into think about like intercultural interactions. And okay, I think I can. That's really helpful. Thank you.
You're, as an educator, you're an expert already in that topic, right? And so, yeah, I mean, you could, you know, I used to do blog posts where I would ask a question to five people or something and just get their answer. So it's like, you know, what's your one tip on how to land a job overseas? Right? Or when you are faced with a cultural difference between you and your student that affects communication or understanding, what are your top three tips? And you could get three people to comment, right? And you create a blog post around that, and you can start by saying, you know, when I was teaching in China, I one time had this problem. And so this was my solution. And here are three more experts who have their solutions. But you definitely would have the, you know, from the educational experience, you know, standpoint, there's so much you could write about. Yeah, I mean, how to present the topic to, you know, when there's a language barrier, how to handle differences in, you know, like words, how we see words, you know, how we understand different words or ideas. Sometimes, you know, I knew a lady who was a healer, and she told me that when she would work with people from different countries, she had to find the correct word. Because if she said heel in the US, we might think Achilles heel. But in another country, heel might mean something, you know, might be associated with something totally different. So I just think you could take your educational background and you could start coming up with your own frameworks on, you know, how to set up curriculum or whatever. I think you would have a wealth of things you could draw on just from your own knowledge and experience, and then even more from the general community.
Cool. Thanks. Yeah, I think I can too. And it sounds like so much fun.
Good.
In fact, it's the only thing I want to be doing. I'll have to work on that.
All right, good. Good.
Quick question.
Uh-huh.
About how long do you envision a post to be? 300 words?
That's the minimum. So there's been an evolution. When I started, it was 150 words was all you needed for Google to kind of acknowledge it well. Then it was 200, and then it hit 300. And now every time I ask, nobody seems to know. But I usually say minimum 300. I would aim for value over word count And so typically what I do is I aim for about 500 words. And if I go over because I need to, fine. But if I'm at five, like I'm in a hurry, I hit 500 words, I'm out of there. I'm done.
Okay.
But I would say, you know, anywhere between 300 and 750 is a decent length for a blog post. I vary from some people on what they believe. I still, I learned from someone a long time ago that the more often you write, the better. So the more often you publish a blog post, the better for the search engine results pages. But you still had to have that minimum and it had to be a valuable post. So that's why, like on Write Nonfiction Now, I did 5 days a week for almost a year because I just wanted a lot of content so that Google would get it. But there are people now who will say if you write just once a week or once every other week, to just make sure they're longer, make sure they're 12, 1500, 2000 words. In my mind, a 2000 word blog post is four blog posts of 500 words. So why would I do that? Like, why wouldn't I even make it into parts? Part one, part two, part three?
Exactly. And who's got that much time?
Exactly right. I do not believe anyone has the time to read those posts. Unless they're coming like once a month. And to me, once a month or once every 2 weeks isn't going to do you a whole lot of good with driving traffic to your site until you have traffic. Mm. The people who are writing very seldomly are writing longer, but they already have really great traffic.
Mm-hmm. And that helps us break down the topic and the subtopics.
Yes.
So we don't feel like we have to come up with all this information. We can focus more on a subtopic, on a step down, give the content, give the value, and be done.
Exactly. And that's how I set it up when I did How to Blog a Book. Here's my chapter title. What are the different topics I need to cover? You know, I had a list of bullets or whatever. These are all the topics that need to be covered. Each one of them is basically a subtopic. And I would just write a headline, for, you know, a title for it. And then I would write 300 to 700 words or so. And then the next blog post was the next subheading in the chapter. So it's the same idea. You just break it down and break it down. And you'd be amazed, you can break things down pretty far. Yeah. Okay.
I want to say congratulations on your spot with Writer's Digest.
Oh, thank you.
Being number 22, I think it is, in the list of 101 wonderful blogs.
Thank you. Wow. I actually don't think the 22, I think it's just based on their category. But that, for Write Nonfiction Now, I think that's the third or fourth year. How to Blog a Book had a couple years also and then dropped off. They don't seem to be doing a whole lot on blogging right now. But anyway, thank you. Yes, it's very exciting. And I'm trying to get to their online content because they were supposed to, I think there was an interview with me that was supposed to be, I looked for it in the magazine. But I just followed the link in the magazine to the online content and couldn't find it. So if somebody finds it, let me know. But thank you. Yes,
we'll
it's always an honor to be on their list, and it helps me enormously.
Absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of the other, you know, contests online or awards online are kind of bogus, you know, in my mind. But not all of them, but a lot of them, it's just how many people can you get to vote for you, right? But this one, I feel like, holds a lot of clout.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks for bringing that up. Okay, other questions? Ella, we haven't heard from you. You want to unmute? You've got your phone unmuted, not your computer. I don't know how the two are different. You're here twice still. But I heard you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
And I can see you. How awesome is that?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, but now we can't see you. The other one was better because we could see you.
I'm sorry.
And now you got to mute one of them. Hold on. I'm muting this one. I've muted your other one. Come back. Uh-oh. Ella, are you there?
I'm here. Could you hear me?
Yeah, and we just lost your picture.
I know, and so my computer is gone. Okay, I'm on the phone now.
Okay.
I have a question. I want to learn how to add video now that I've got my blog streamlined. Mm-hmm. Two questions. How long should the video be? And also, because now I have a blog, I want to read my blog while I'm shooting myself on video. Do you recommend that? Because when I try to do it improvisationally on video or as a vlog, I go off on all kinds of tangents and I spend 15 minutes. So do you recommend reading my actual text from my blog for the video?
Only if you can make it sound natural. And you're going to need a teleprompter. You know, I mean, and you can get online teleprompters. They just are not great, like to get your camera set up so that you actually can see the screen and all. I've struggled with that a lot. So I actually, if you go to ninaamir.com and you watch my videos, you will see that yes. More often than not, I have gone off on some tangent or, you know, it's not verbatim for the blog post. And I do them two ways, Ella. One, I write the blog post. And then I go shoot a video. And the only thing I might have in front of me are, you know, my three tips or four tips or whatever it is, right? I might have those on a little sticky on my phone so that I can see. If I were to go into where I shoot videos, you would find a pile of papers on the floor because I tend to print it out on a regular 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. And then I tape it over the screen so that I'm not covering up the camera and I can still hit start and stop because then I don't see myself so much because otherwise you're looking at yourself in the camera rather at the camera eye, which is usually off to the side. So anyway, I then pull them off and dump them on the floor because I'm lazy. So there's a big pile of them on the floor. But that's usually just the tips. Occasionally there's a little bit more, but I don't do it verbatim at all. So that's one way. Is I write the blog post, then I shoot the video. The other way that I do it is I shoot the video and I will know what my tips are gonna be, you know, in advance. Again, I might still have that on a sticky note or taped to my screen, but then I actually send it out for transcription. And when it comes back, I will pull out of it what I need. I prefer actually to write the blog post from scratch because I don't like editing transcripts, which is part of the reason I've struggled with writing chapters to the Author of Change book because they're all so much of it is transcripts and I really hate it. So I do that when, if I have time to go in and shoot some videos, I'll shoot 3 or 4 videos and send them off to my transcriptionist. If I don't have time, I write the blog post, I shoot the video, and I do it all myself. So personally, I think it's more natural to just do a blog post, you know, do a video, you know, without like a teleprompter. But, you know, go look at Brendan Burchard's videos. His are like so clean and he shot those in one go without any teleprompter, nothing. So I think it's going to be up to you. But remember that when you put a video on your blog, you need to still have at least 300 words to go with it or Google won't index the blog, you know, that right there on your site. Did that confuse you or did that help you?
That helped a lot. I will just go and shoot the video. I'll read the blog that I've written several times and then just go and shoot the video. Thank you.
Awesome. Yep, that's what I would suggest.
I won't struggle with anything fancy like a teleprompter or trying to involve my husband. So thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, I've tried all kinds of things, man. Sales videos, those are my worst because I want to make sure I get all the information into the video about the program and the price and the this and the that. And I have, you know, it all planned out. And I've tried putting it on a whiteboard and propping it up somewhere and having the camera. And, you know, then I'm like trying to look at the white, you know. There is no good way unless you have a teleprompter. So I have learned to just do it off the cuff and hope for the best.
Okay, that helps a lot. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And my second question is, this is a plan. There's one conference that I taught at where I got a lot of students and a lot of interest. I'm thinking I should go back to that conference. They have newsletters that go out to their members every month. I could just do a paid ad, like $10 or something, and advertise my new blog with my new member site. Do you think that's a good idea?
I do. The other thing is to ask if there's any way for you to have something go out in their newsletter. Maybe pay for something. But I'm working with a client who he actually has he's blogging his book. He's actually writing the book in long form, but he's blogging shortened versions of stories, and he's actually writing about a Ferrari dealership. And it actually is a very interesting story. But what he did was he actually was a member of like a Ferrari enthusiasts club. And he was able to get permission to email that list of the Ferrari club members. So I would say start looking at things like that. He actually has paid somebody on Upwork to do research and find him different, you know, sports car type enthusiast clubs, and to locate who he's supposed to contact there and see whether, you know, how he might be able to let their membership also know about his blog. And that's all he's really doing is sending them to the blog. There's something free they can get there, but he's just sending them to the blog. So I would suggest you look at anything like that that will help you. And that's for all of us, really. I mean, for the author of Change book, my agent just said, you know, what about organizations? And I created a list of organizations, and he's like, you know, you need to start really working some of these organizations and seeing, you know, how you can become involved. And, you know, maybe not involved, but you know what I mean? Just create some connections there and be looking for more and more organizations. So this is a good thing to do. And conferences are also great. So they have a newsletter that you can get on, or just ads, either way. Okay?
That helps tremendously. Thank you. I'm ready to go back in now with my blog and soon my videos.
Awesome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Now you can go back and turn your computer back on so we can see you again.
I actually ran out of juice. I'm sorry. But next week, I know I will be here 300% next week. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Ella. Any other questions? Issues with the homework? Deanna, I see you unmuted.
Yeah. What do you think about adding images to blog posts? I like to, you know, maybe use photos to capture, well, to tell a story. But the other thing is just wondering about people's attention span. I know mine seems to grow shorter and shorter.
Yeah.
In this cell phone age.
Yeah. So images are essential to a blog post. So if you go look at some blogs, I mean, you could go over and look at the bookdesigner.com, Joel Friedlander. He's a professional blogger. So Joel, let me see if I can type it in here. The bookdesigner.com. You can go look at problogger.com. These are people who are professional bloggers. But go look at any successful website, and you're going to see different things. This is an A-list blogging. Her name is Mary. Oh, I can never remember how to spell her name. Something like that, Mary Jacks. Anyway, I think it's A-list blogging. Anyway, you're going to see, like, on the bookdesigner.com, he just has an image. At the top of every post, he has a beautiful image. A lot of them he's getting from Pixabay, which is a free site. There are lots of free sites. You know, it's nice to give credit, though, to where you're getting the photos. But anyway, the other thing to do other than just an image is to do what I do, which are called quote cards. So I find an image, and I use canva.com. I've just put that in there in the chat also. And if you look at any of my websites, you're going to see there's an image with words on it and then my logo or the website address or both. And the thing about that is they're easy to share. And so, you know, you can share them on Pinterest, on LinkedIn. You know, you want, when you're sharing your blog post, you want an image to come up because people are more attracted to the images than anything else. These days, videos also are almost outweighing the images, but you do want to have images, Deanna. And I never have, when I go back and I find a blog post of mine that has no image from like, you know, when I started blogging in 2015 or whenever it was, I look at it and go, oh my God, I need to put an image in there. Because it's boring. You look at them and it's just a bunch of type and nothing else. Mm-hmm. There was a trend, and I think some people still do it, which is to add a lot of images throughout the blog post because it breaks it up. But I'd rather see a shorter blog post with one good image and maybe something easy to tweet. So I use a plugin that, you know, I can create little, if you go look at any of my blogs, there's usually something you can click to, says click to tweet, and but it's a statement out of, you know, a quote out of the blog post. Mm-hmm. So I find that I like doing that because I think it's easier for somebody to click on that and share it than it is the other stuff. But when I share my blog post, I want that image there to attract attention.
And how do you choose the image you want? How do you decide?
I am usually looking at what the blog post is about and the sense I want to give about it. Sometimes I really struggle. To be honest, I could write a blog post in 45 minutes, you know, get it edited and be all done in a little over an hour maybe. And it might take me half an hour or more to find an image. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, unless you want, I mean, there are lots of images if you don't care about putting words over it. You know, you could have something for productivity and it actually say something, or you know what I mean, and have a picture, and it's pretty simple. But like the other day, I was doing something on yesterday's blog post. What was it? Because I struggled with this one a lot. The post was on, ordinary versus extraordinary. And I was like, well, how the heck am I going to show that? And I ended up with two people sitting with their backs to you out in a field because part of being extraordinary had to do with the conversations you have with people, right? And so but it was really hard to find something that I thought gave that feeling, right? And I'm not sure I even got it across. I actually looked at it today. I was like, I don't know whether that was the right choice. But I, you know, after about half an hour, I'm like, I'm done. I need a photo. But you want something that makes sense to your post. I mean, Joel Friedlander at thebookdesigner.com, because he's a designer, very often he'll have kind of artistic pictures that do get across the sense of what his blog is about, but they're not as clear. You know what I mean? Yeah. So in your case, you know, you're going to want lots of pictures of probably teachers and classrooms and things like that. And there are lots of those pictures to be found. And you're just going to have to, you know, be searching out the ones that you feel depict what you want.
Okay.
Yeah, and so the sites that I like are Pixabay, but don't use pictures where you can see somebody's face straight on, like we're looking at each other, mm-hmm. because we don't know on Pixabay if that person gave permission. Mm. Okay, so usually it's better if you can't actually identify them. So in your case, Pixabay may not be the best place. I was using 123rf.com. because their images were only $1 a piece. And if you bought 40, you saved a little money. But they just upped their price to $2 a piece. And that starts to add up when you do as many blog posts as I do. So now I'm actually using Unsplash.com. And there are other ones like Shutterstock. I mean, there are a bunch of places where you can pay for pictures. Mm-hmm. And that's always a safe way to go, mm-hmm. you know. But if you're using like Flickr or some of these other, you know, common sites, then Flickr, the problem there is you have to make sure you're getting Creative Commons. So you want Creative Commons rights on something like that. But the ones where you're paying, you're actually getting rights to use it on your blog post. And you don't really have to worry too much. It's kind of set up for that. They'll say if you're using it for advertising or something else, you might need to buy extended rights. But a blog post is not technically advertising. So, yeah. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. Other questions? Sherry, did you have one?
No, but when Deborah was talking, if I followed her whole thread of what she was talking about, and you're talking about combining her two blogs into one, alternating, I was thinking that maybe, and this, I'm just throwing this out here as a suggestion, I don't expect you to take it, but, you know, like the name of it could be Art in the Heart of Caregiving, because that would combine the art and also the heart of caregiving, which is, you know, understanding them, caring for them, and caring for the caregiver. That's a huge one too. So it's just a thought.
Yeah. I don't know if that...
That's a good thought.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have the writing in there, but it's pretty close. I kind of liked it.
Thank you. That's good.
Sure.
So how did everybody get so much focused on blogging this week? Although we've had a lot of conversations about platform and promotion, even though we have not even got, like, what are we going to talk about next month, man? That's when we're doing engaged communities. We've, like, so already gotten there.
Well, yeah, well, I think because we kind of talked about future and the making a platform, and I think a blog is a great way to, you know, get a platform going.
Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about the different hats we were going to have to... Where?
Right. Yeah. Well, that definitely spurs that thought, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So was it mostly that for all of you, the talking about all the different roles you'd have to play that got you thinking about blogging and podcasting and all of that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good because, you know, you're actually going to get, if you haven't already, you'll get this week, you should, I'll check with Ruth. Have you already gotten the Engaged Platforms course? No. Okay. So you'll be getting that. It's an interview with Deborah Levine Herman and I. She's an agent. And it's an interview with her and I talking about it. It is 4 years old, so keep that in mind, but it's still good content. And then I created a workbook to help you go through all the social media and all of that to, you know, start kind of planning out what you're going to do.
Wow. So
you'll find that really useful.
Yeah,
that's one of the bonuses. So I'll make myself a note to make sure Ruth gives you that this week. She should. Other questions?
This is Ella. I have a quick question.
Yep.
This is regarding the homework for this week. Number 4. Module 1, it asked a lot about values and how it relates to our purpose, which was week number 1. Could you, obviously, values are what are value, but could you describe what you consider what it's asking about when it says values, what level?
You could value honesty, or you could value service, or you could value family. You could value communication. You could value I'm trying to think of something related to health, you know, value. I suggest usually that you go through those areas, kind of relationships, you know, family, health and fit, wellness, career. You know, those kind of areas, and just pick out what is it that you really value in those areas. What's important to you? It's really just that. What's important to you? But on the other hand, beyond sort of just important to you, when I think of a value, I think of something like honesty. Like, that's a core value. I want people to be honest. I want to be honest. I want to be around people who are honest. Right?
Yes.
You know, for you, you have, I'm sure, a core value that has something to do with environmental consciousness or caring for the earth or healing, right? Supporting healing.
Yes.
Is that helpful?
Yes, it is. Thank you. I just wanted to begin the conversation on this week's homework.
Awesome.
Yes, that helps a lot.
I was, I appreciate you bringing up this week's homework. Yes. We seem to avoid that.
And also, yes, I feel I was, we were avoiding it. And putting together an ACT plan, really grounding it in words and commitment. So I'm going to work on my ACT plan.
Awesome. And I love those of you who are sharing that. And maybe it's only Ella I would have to go back and see, but I love that. And Ella, I know you did that last time too. You did a lot of sharing on each week's homework and on the webinars. And I think that's so helpful for everyone. And it'd be great if everybody, you know, shared. And I know you're not always up to date, but, you know, share whatever it is you're doing. Maybe you're working on week two and we're on week five. It's okay. But if you share or ask questions there, it gets conversation going, just like here. And, you know, I saw Deborah, you commenting on Ella, you know, what she had done, and, you know, it gets a conversation going that keeps you thinking about this stuff all the time. And there's a little bit of accountability that happens, right? Oh, Ella did the homework. What about me? I gotta, you know, maybe I should do the homework. So thank you, Ella. Other questions about the homework, Ella, or are you, is that it?
Well, I will admit that I am still, each week I rehash all of the homeworks at once now. I still am working on homework number one, where I'm developing new tags for my website. I'm keeping that updated. I keep getting new ideas, and about the talking points, the pitch. So I'm not letting it go, saying, oh, I've already done that. I'm rehashing it every week and going back over the homework.
Okay. All right. Good. Good. Let me ask you all something, since you don't have many questions left for me. Right now, my book, which I told you all could read, right now there is only the introduction and two chapters, and I'm redoing some of those two chapters based on my agent's recommendations. Would you all like to see them just as they're done, which could be long and interspersed? Or would you rather see the manuscript at the point where I say, hey, I really need you to read through this, you know, in this amount of time and give me your feedback because I'm revising before I turn this into the publisher? What would work best for all of you?
I think for me, the manuscript.
Like the whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Then I could just be immersed in it and, you know, give feedback that way.
Okay. You're probably, your teacher background is going to be good for that. Looking forward to that.
You're talking as beta readers.
Yeah, I need some beta readers. I'm really bad about that. I tend to just write in a vacuum. And with the author training manual, I had some beta readers, not a ton of them, but I had some. And some of them gave me examples, actually. There were people in my course who gave me examples that were then included in the book. But just beta readers to go through. This works, that doesn't work. You know, like my agent read through and he's like, he read through just my sample chapters. He was like, why is this here? I'm like, well, probably because it was in the course there. Like, you know, I taught the course and it made sense there. And now you're telling me it doesn't make sense. Okay. So I don't know whether that means I have to move it in the course, but you know, it's stuff like that. This, you know, why is that here? Or this, you know, this doesn't make sense. Or I think this is redundant. We already did that. Or, you know, what would help me more here is this. Any comments you all have on the manuscript will help me. And then everybody gets a book. When the book finally comes out, you all get a signed book from me, which is probably not a big enough gift for the work you will have done, but hopefully you'll have...
That's a pretty nice gift.
What's your book about, Nina?
It's called How to Author Change. It's based on this course.
Oh, okay.
And actually, as it turns out, the homework assignments that you get... So when I first did this course, last year I revamped all the homework assignments and they became even longer than they were, as you see. Mm-hmm. And I realized that actually they're the foundation for most of the chapters. So what you'll get won't look 100% different from what you're seeing right now, but they will be changed and it will all be put together into a cohesive whole and something. some of the things that are in one assignment won't be, you know, like they didn't belong in that chapter. And so things will get moved around. It won't be identical by any means. But I can tell you that the homework assignments and the webinars are the foundation for the book. Mm-hmm. So if you don't want to go through it again, then fine. You don't have to. But that's what it is. It's how to author change.
Yeah, it would be nice for us to have it all in one, you know, one thing, a book.
Yeah, well, that's the idea. You shouldn't have to take the course to get the info. But the book will support those of you taking the course. And I will probably have to redo the homework to some extent in the future. But all right, so Deanna says the whole manuscript. Ella and Sherry?
How long is it going to be? Because that would, you know, how much time would take to read the whole manuscript?
Yeah, it's probably going to be 70,000 words. So I don't know how many pages that is in a book, but 70,000 divide. I don't have my calculator here. Hold on. I mean, it's going to be a full length book. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm only a beta reader for one person. She sends me a chapter at a time. I don't know. That's extremely doable, but.
Well, I can also do that. I mean, it's about 280 pages of manuscript. So, you know, what I can do is I can create a Dropbox and I can just put the chapters in there as they're done. And those of you who prefer to read a little bit at a time can just go there. You know, I can say, hey, there's a new chapter. And those of you who prefer to read the whole thing can just wait. And grab the chapters later. Would that work better?
Yep.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, awesome. All right, so we have technically about 10 more minutes if we want to use them. Does anyone have any last minute questions? Looks like we lost Deborah. Any more questions? Are you all thinking? Wait, Deanna, did you say yes
ahead,
or no?
I'm sorry.
No, I don't.
You don't. Okay, Sherry?
Okay, I just want to recap what we talked about when you were talking about not having too many blogs. They're working on my website now, and I'm going to talk with them this Saturday. So I've written a book on caregiving, and I'm writing a book now on the soul or hope. And so what you're saying is that I should combine, I wanted to have a blog for caregiving and a blog for the hope/soul. But what you're saying is it's better to combine those and then alternate the blog. I mean, if they're both, the one on caregiving is really for the caregiving soul, it's really a book to help caregivers get through the process. And then the other book is, you know, just on having hope and nurturing your soul. So they do kind of work together.
Yeah, so if you had a site that, you know, so you could always have your name.com, right? And you can redirect it. You don't have to call your site.
The website.
Yeah, you don't have to call your site by your name, but you would want to redirect your name to the site. So just to be clear. Yeah. But so I could see you having a website that's, you know, hope for the soul.
Right.
Or, you know, I mean, there is a soul journeys, but, you know, the caregiver soul, or, I mean, but that's more about the caregivers, but something that's related to the soul. And then, you know, your blog posts would all tie in with care for the soul for the caregiver and hope that relates to the soul, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Those are the two kind of areas, caregivers and how they remain connected to their soul and take care of themselves from a spiritual perspective. Right. And then you have the spiritual aspect of hope, right?
Right.
You could definitely tie that together. You're going to be a little diluted because one is caregivers and one isn't. But if your main focus is hope or soul, then you can make the majority of your blog posts talk about that.
Right. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, and then just alternate whether it's talking about a caregiver or the general person.
Right.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, the only thing is that if you have, if it were me, I would actually, which is your most important book, the one for caregivers or the one about hope in general?
Well, Caregiver is printed. I mean, it's already published, so, and it's out there, so it's the most important right now.
But going forward, going forward, would you be writing more about hope and spirituality?
I think so, yeah.
So I think I would probably... See, the thing is, you don't want to write a lot about caregiving, and then when you decide you don't want to do that anymore, to switch gear, right? Because then you lose all your readers. So I might be talking about soul and hope and always referencing things like caregiving or anything else related to caregiving that I'm not being able to think about right now, like... you know, because caregiving can even be taking care of your children...
It could be a parent, it could be a spouse, it could be... Yeah.
Right, so I would be talking about caregiving in those terms. So I would have one blog post that might be actually about caregiving and the soul and hope and those kind of things. And then I would be doing maybe one that was sort of generic caregiving that related to these topics. And then I would be doing one on hope and the soul.
Hope and soul. Okay,
and
so...
And as you get away from promoting this book, you want to be doing more and more on the soul, but you don't want to be on hope, but you don't, I was tempted to say I would have two that were sort of generic compared to the caregiving one, just because if you're going to go forward with care, with a hope and spirituality and all of that, I would want more of that on there.
Okay. Yep.
And that's where the career planning comes in. You know, we look at that and go, okay, so how many other books do you have and where are you going next? Because what you're doing right now may not be, you do need to promote that book. And promoting it on your blog is going to help, but you don't want to have so many people there who are caregivers and then 6 months from now you shift gears.
Okay, yeah.
Right?
Right.
See, that's where things like, and this, you know, speaks so much to authoring change. Well, that's where things like the groups, the Facebook groups, LinkedIn groups, meetups, these are all things you can do that meetups are in person. I mean, they start out online, but these are all things you can do where you can gather around you a very specific group of people. So you could say, I talk about hope and soul and spirituality. You know, that's what I do, but I also talk about it for caregivers. And the book that I just published is for caregivers. And so I'm going to collect a bunch of people who are interested in caregiving and the spiritual aspect of that. Does that make sense?
Okay, yep.
Because then what you do is you collect those people in a space, you create a community, an engaged community of people interested in that topic, and then your blog can still be kind of more generic. Look at ninaamir.com. I mean, really, it's a great example of this because I write about high performance, spirituality, you know, personal growth, metaphysics, all the woo-woo stuff. And yet, you know, it's for anyone, but I'm also a high performance coach. And, you know, part of that is how do I get people into that? And I'm going to, hopefully in just a few more months, I'm going to actually have a membership site that will be related to personal growth and spirituality and metaphysics and all of that and have high performance coaching in it. So it will be, I'll be able to drive people there. But people who come to my site right now, a lot of them are interested in high performance, but a lot of them are also interested in spirituality and might be converted to being interested in high performance, right? And so I'll be funneling them into that, but I didn't want to only be on one topic.
Okay.
One, I mean, it's all very interrelated. Does that make sense? I don't know if I explained that well.
I think so. That's what I was going to do is have two blogs on my website, but put more of my effort into the soul hope, but not forget the caregiving because I'm still trying to promote the book. So yeah, I think you've helped me kind of figure that out.
Well, yeah, because if you have two blogs and then you decide you don't really want to write about caregiving anymore, you're in the same boat as me with the how to blog a book.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? And you have to keep it going. And I don't want you to get stuck there because you don't want to have a defunct blog. You don't want one that's, you know, like they were saying about mine, it was dead there 11 months out of the year. You know, you don't want one that had a bunch of content and then dies off.
Right. Okay.
So better to just have that be, if it were me, I'd probably write one on caregiving to every two I did on the other topic.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And just make sure you promote the heck out of the one on caregiving.
Right.
Just right now. I mean, make sure it's on all, you know, that you share it to all the different social media sites. You know, even if that's all you're doing on social media sites is sharing about that. You're not super active, but I'd be on as many as I could and be sharing. And then, you know, on the places where you can throw a little bit of money towards it, every time I did a blog post, I'd probably put $5 towards it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, $5 will get you quite a number more viewers on Facebook than it, you know, than not doing that.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Thank you.
Yep.
I think it's just, oh no, there's somebody, it might be just you and me now. So
yeah, it is. I think, Deanna left too. Ella's here, but yeah,
I'm here.
Yeah. Okay.
But I think we're about done. Mm-hmm. Ella, did you have any last questions or are you good?
Thank you very much. No.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Deanna left a note. So see you all next week. Thank you, Nina. So awesome. Great questions. And I'll be excited to delve in next week since we're on to, you know, week 5, and that is module 2, which is the engaged community. So you guys are already rocking it there. So we'll see where we go from with that. All right. Thank you all for being on. And go to the Facebook page. Let me know how you're doing. Ask your questions. And I will talk to you next week. Same place, same time.
Okay, sounds great.
Yeah, until then, go out there and achieve more inspired results. Thank you so much for bringing such great questions.
Thank you.
Yep, bye.
Bye.
Bye.